Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, September 24th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. A class action suit against the world's largest retailer, Walmart, is set to begin this week in Dakota County. The suit was brought on behalf of approximately 60,000 current and former Minnesota Walmart employees who allege that the company forced them to work off the clock and without rest and meal breaks. Justin Pearl is one of the lead attorneys in the case. Pearl says the money Walmart owes the employees in this case is significant.
These folks are making slightly over the minimum wage, averaging maybe $8.75 in Minnesota. And, you know, if they miss a rest break or a meal break, they're maybe only cheated out of a half an hour here or 15 minutes there. It adds up to millions and millions of dollars to Walmart when you multiply it by all of the class members over all of the years.
Walmart's payroll records show that in some cases, company managers altered employee time cards. Walmart declined to comment on the charges. Walmart has 58 stores in Minnesota, including Sam's Clubs, Supercenters, and discount stores. Another controversy has emerged in connection with the 35W bridge reconstruction. State transportation officials are asking a special legislative panel for the authority to spend an additional $195 million. That's the amount of emergency money still due from the federal government to help pay for a new bridge. But a key DFL lawmaker accuses the Pawlenty administration of using a backdoor maneuver to avoid a broader debate of transportation funding. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Pugmire reports.
Within just days of the 35W bridge collapse, Congress approved $250 million in emergency funding. State officials are still waiting to receive the bulk of that money, about $195 million. But the state budget puts a limit on how much the Minnesota Department of Transportation can spend. So State Finance Commissioner Tom Hansen says MnDOT is asking the Legislative Advisory Commission for authority to spend the federal money when it arrives.
Well, the concern is that if they don't increase our spending authority, then even if we did get the money, we wouldn't be able to spend it, and we would probably have to delay or defer projects.
The 8-member Legislative Advisory Commission deals with state spending issues when the legislature is not in session. Hansen says MnDOT currently has authority to spend $604 million on construction projects, but the paperwork filed along with his request says the contract for a new 35W bridge is now expected to consume half of MnDOT's existing appropriation. DFL Senator Steve Murphy of Red Wing says the request is troublesome.
This is a way of getting around the legislature so the governor doesn't have to pass a transportation bill.
Murphy, who chairs the Senate Transportation Committee, wants to know why a $195 million spending request wasn't addressed last week when Governor Pawlenty called lawmakers back to St. Paul for a one-day special session. The Republican governor and DFL legislative leaders limited the agenda to flood relief for southeastern Minnesota after failing to reach a prior agreement on a transportation funding bill. Murphy says the administration hasn't been consistent about bridge funding.
Now, they told us up until today that they didn't need the legislature's help in rectifying the I-35W bridge. The commissioner said that in our committee, and now they're singing a different tune.
Murphy claims the governor wants to bypass a legislature that twice passed transportation funding bills that he later vetoed. After the 35W bridge collapse, Pawlenty backed off his opposition to a gas tax increase to pay for road and bridge projects. But he still objects to DFL proposals to boost transit funding through other tax increases. Finance Commissioner Hansen dismissed Murphy's accusations.
We are not trying to bypass the process. We talked with him about the concept and about the legislature, about this concept before the special session, and they expressed a strong desire to keep it focused on flood relief. No matter what happens, we need to get their authority.
If members of the Legislative Advisory Commission object, Hansen says they have the right to call for a public meeting on the spending authority request. Senator Murphy says he expects a meeting will be held within the next 10 days. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback unveils his 2008 budget on Monday. Once again, the mayor will put funding for public safety at the top of his agenda. And following the 35W bridge collapse, the mayor will also push for city public works resources to focus on bridge and road repair. The mayor is also expected to recommend another 8% increase in property taxes. The demand for more services and rising property taxes will hit home with all Minneapolis residents. Minnesota Public Radio's Brant Williams talked with some Minneapolis residents about the budget choices facing the mayor and the city council.
It's hard to have a serious discussion about property taxes and city services when you're around a 2-year-old boy who's just put on a new pair of slippers. Julie Horns is about to find that out.
Well, I think all the basic services they're doing pretty well with.
I got these slippers.
Edison, I'm trying to talk to Brant.
Take two.
Brant, I got these slippers.
Edison, come over here and tell me about those. Show me
those
slippers.
He's not interviewing you about slippers.
Horn's husband, Dane Peters, distracts Edison just long enough for Julie to have her say on a topic they have serious concerns about. The couple lives in the Prospect Park neighborhood in Minneapolis. Julie is an analyst for U.S. Bank. Dan stays at home during the week to care for their son, Edison, and their 1-year-old daughter, Vivian. He sells real estate on nights and weekends, and with the slow real estate market, that means they're a one-income household lately. Their home is valued at $365,000, and currently they're paying more than $4,900 a year in property taxes. That includes taxes levied by the city, county, and the school district. Horns says while for the most part they are getting a fair return for their money, any increase in property taxes will hurt.
Well, I feel like we're getting more of our money's worth now that we're going to have kids school age pretty soon since they're supporting the schools. But it's still when we're struggling to afford the house payment for the house that we've gotten into by the skin of our teeth, each you know, $50 a month makes a big difference.
Mayor R.T. Ryback and other city leaders say cuts in state aid have forced them to raise property taxes to pay for essential city services like police and fire. And they're particularly disappointed that in the 2007 session, Governor Pawlenty vetoed a tax bill that would have restored $13 million in state aid to the city. Dan Peters says that's disproportionately affecting city residents of modest means.
I think that the state, the head of the state government, has been continuing to shift the tax burden onto the middle class and lightening the load, or refusing to force those that are on the higher end of the income bracket to pay their fair freight.
But others say the city can't blame the governor for its woes. One of them is David DeGraio, who lives in the Wyndham Park neighborhood in northeast Minneapolis. He pays less than half the property taxes Dan and Julie pay, and he's more critical of how the city has managed its finances. In particular, he's concerned that the city will fall short of reaching the hiring goal for police officers proposed last year by Mayor R.T. Ryback.
You know, 2006, he says he's going to budget money to have 893 cops, and come the end of 2007, we're, you know, depending upon how you do the math, it's either somewhere between, you know, 43 and 60 short.
DeGraio is part of a group of people calling for 50 more cops to be hired in the city. He says there's been a decrease in police presence in his neighborhood and an increase in petty crime. DeGraio says not long ago he had his book bag stolen from his driveway.
You know, if you're somebody who's out walking around the streets looking for, you know, a house to break into, a car to break into, if there's a cop car rolling through the neighborhood every, you know, hour, half hour or something, you're less likely to do that because there's a greater chance of you getting caught.
Earlier this year, the police department announced that it would delay the hiring of 20 police officers until 2008 because of budget overruns. Currently, the department is on pace to exceed its 2006 budget by more than $5 million. Following the mayor's budget address, the council begins its deliberations on the budget. They are required to review and pass a budget by the end of this year. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.